Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. I'm Reverend Leslie Nelson, and I hope the Lord encourages you as I welcome Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries to the studio today. John and his lovely wife, Nancy, persevere in service to the global collegiate community while residing in the Great Northwest. And during these days prior to the return of Jesus Christ, John's conviction concerning the need for ministry to the college community is greater than ever. He continues to be amazed at the growing skepticism toward the most basic truths in Jesus Christ. And although John grew up in a religious home, he did not commit his life to Jesus Christ until he was a college student. It was there that he saw a pressing need for ministry to the college community. John wondered why it was that so many were hostile to the eternal truths of Jesus Christ. He joined Mission Store in June 1990 and incorporated Endurance Ministries in 2000 to address current cultural affairs in light of the eschatological data, the end times data, in God's precious word. Now, I had to write that one out so I could say it.
That's a big word.
The ministry takes a thematic approach while at the same time offering chronological insight as explicitly outlined in the Bible. John serves as the field director for this contemporary ministry. He has also written The Final Trumpet Rapture Gathering, an introduction, which represents one of the fastest growing end time positions today. John is so graced by God to have a generous shepherd's heart in the areas where God has called him to serve. And as a result, he's open to your questions, comments, and is available to speak in churches and educational settings, offering a wide range of presentations tied to Truth Matters theme, Truth Foundations. Okay, John, I have to stop, or there won't be any time for you to share with us today. And I know that, as always, your message is powerful. So welcome again to the studio.
Good to be back, Leslie. Thanks.
Thanks for the safe trip, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So let's start out with how does this topic of Truth Foundations relate to the study of the end times?
It's important to realize that we base our end time view upon a foundation of truth. And our end time view is only as good as our foundation. So we appeal to something that's prerequisite to the study of end times, and that is, okay, let's acknowledge that it is the Word of God, the Bible, that we go to for our information, and then the whole issue of interpretation kicks in. So the issue of interpretation is a big deal.
Yes, it is, because there are a lot of people out there who would like to have their interpretations be the best.
That, and we need to better discern when we make interpretations of the text as opposed to what the text says. And I can tell you story after story. In fact, can I share one?
Absolutely.
We were at a book table ministry, actually here in the Portland area at one of the campuses that we were serving, Mount Hood Community College. And we had this one guy come up for a few weeks, and he acknowledged what we were doing and basically looked over the material, didn't say a whole lot. But the third or fourth time that he came, I'll just call him Larry for this purpose, he said to us, why does this ministry undermine the Word of God?
Undermine the Word of God.
Well, that's what we said. We said, can you be more specific? And then he said, well, you Sunday keepers of the Lord's Day are wearing the mark of the beast, and why do you do that? And I said to Larry, I said, Larry, look over the material on the table. We don't have material on that issue. So there's an assumption that you're making, but you know what? Let's go back to the text and read it. So we went to Revelation 13. We looked at it, and I said, Larry, where does it say the issue of Sabbath being the mark of the beast? And he had a hard time actually not seeing the Sabbath as the fulfillment of the mark of the beast. And I said, that's not what Scripture says. You have to acknowledge that you're basing your view on an interpretation of the text, not on what the text says. Stories like this, Leslie, happen time and time again. And so that's where we find counsel in God's Word as to even traditions of our day, be it denominational traditions, be it theological, systematic theological traditions, we need to go back to listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Can I read a passage that emphasizes his response to the religious leaders and their tradition of the day?
You know, anytime you read the Word of God, that's acceptable in this studio.
Okay.
So go right ahead.
Okay, it's taken from Mark 7. I'll read Matthew 15, which is the parallel text verse 1, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Jesus answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah speak about you, saying, these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's a contemporary issue today that we need to be heeding, and as a result, be more discerning as to the difference between interpretations that we impose upon the text as to what the text actually says.
Well, I know that we're never supposed to add to or take away from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And in all the classes I've sat in, and especially yours, we were always taught that it is what the Word says, not what it doesn't say, and not added or taken away from.
Yes. Yep. Huge. And this topic obviously relates to the topic of end time address. Because if we're basing some of our views upon interpretations of Scripture that are not actually stated in the Word, if it's an inference or what have you, it's an interpretation. It's not a sound foundation upon which our foundation of end times rests. So that's a big deal. It relates very much to, well, end time considerations, both in the secular and in the church context. So we graciously communicate this for example, using an anti-Christian worldviews. Okay, I'll say something like this to them, depending upon who I'm talking with and the context. I'll say, please discern how your views, your opinion, will land you in the lake of fire in light of what the Word of God explicitly says. So we say, wait a minute, stop New Agers and stop Neo-Gnostics, or stop Muslims, stop Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, stop either including agnostics and atheists. Wait a minute, Baha'i and other expressions of global spirituality, stop proclaiming the doctrine of Antichrist. And sometimes they say, what do you mean? Well, the Word of God says that if you embrace a false understanding of Jesus Christ, you do not have God.
This is true.
So in light of that 2 John emphasis from verses 7 through 11, and then the specifics in 1 John chapters 2 and 4, we can, not our opinion, but we can bring that divine standard and say, this is what the Word of God actually teaches. We also find some traditions within the church. And so
that's a little frightening, but you know what? I think we all need to be very aware of this. So I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, we've addressed this. It's been last year since I've been with you last.
That's true.
That seems like a long time.
Seems like a long time.
It is the new year.
It is a new year. Happy New Year.
But we hit amen. But we say to them in a speaking the truth in love approach.
Absolutely.
Not a judgmental one saying, wait a minute. Stop preterists who believe that these end time passages are not for today. We say stop to the dogmatic pre-tribulation rapture advocates. We say stop to the pan-mill, the pan-trib people who also embrace and include within that view, I don't have to concern myself at all with end time matters. We say, no, stop teaching your opinions as truth, which, if they're wrong, run contrary to the clear instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially pertaining to enduring readiness. And when we say these things kindly, but we are saying them from a foundation of truth that is firm. We're not saying them in light of our traditions.
Saying what the Word of God says. That's correct. And as you said, we are called to correct with love, because that creates that aha moment in our spirit that allows our heart to be changed or our ears to be opened, And if you do it as a clanging cymbal, beating somebody up with the Bible, it's not going to impact their hearts.
Absolutely. We have to bring a Christ-like motive to it and let that lead us in the way. But then, if it's a prophetic ministry that you've been, that, for example, I've been gifted with, I need to follow through with that assignment. So I have to maybe run contrary to the fun, the popular opinions of the day and say, no, this is what God's Word says. Foundations are huge. If it was just John Swanson's opinion, let's put it aside quick. Well, I just asked my wife. She'll fill you in.
Oh.
But no, it's got to be a firm foundation. And we have illustrations to that. It's not that we just find these passages in Scripture that speak to this absolute essential starting point. We also find illustrations as we go in our practical everyday experiences. So I could tell you some stories about experiences that illustrate the importance of a sound foundation.
But what about those issues from the church that you were talking about?
Mm-hmm. We're gently asking people, if it's a Christian audience that is hearing this, we're asking them to go back to the Word of God and try to better discern the difference between the interpretations and what the Word of God clearly says. So we're making that challenge. We're not saying, go to our book, even though we've written a book and we've outlined some of the biblical appeals. We say, go to the Word and let it speak for itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Evaluate some of the popular end time things. And if they go contrary to Scripture, I mean, it's one thing to go extra biblical, like these religious leaders of Jesus' day. If their traditions were extra biblical, that's one thing. But if it's taken further to be anti-biblical, which Jesus Christ was referring to in this Matthew 15 passage, then we have a major problem. Well, the same is true of some of these end time positions. If they're taught tentatively, in light of the lack of biblical warrant for the view, okay, that's one thing. But if you're saying this is true, one of these different positions is true, and you're neglecting the study of God's Word and themes therein, like preparedness, be ready, be watchful, etc., all the time in Scripture, these end time passages, then we're actually belittling the explicit biblical text. That's a problem.
You know, John, I run up against a lot of different, I don't even want to call them theologies. I will call them spiritual paths that mm-hmm. people have besides Jesus Christ. Why not these other spiritual paths?
Why not? Because, again, as we go back to the Truth Foundation, we find that they are erring in essential doctrine. For example, the person of Christ is an eternal state issue. If you believe wrongly about Christ, if you say it's a Christ consciousness that we all enjoy, Scripture says you don't have the Father. You don't have God. You don't have relationship with Him. That's the importance, and that's why we at Endurance Ministries emphasize some of these essential doctrines as opposed to some of the secondary issues. So the New Ager and the Neo-Gnostic, they are bringing the spirit of Antichrist because of their false doctrine of Christ. Muslims do not acknowledge the divinity of Christ. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, have distorted views on the teaching of Christ. Agnostics reject it altogether and often go down the road of the neo-Gnostics saying, well, Jesus was just a man. They deny his lordship, that he is indeed the Messiah, and defined as God among us, with us, etc. And some of the other global spiritualities of our day. Well, we have to bring Jesus down so he's not this unique, special man of history. Oh, the God-man. And so, let me illustrate it, can I, as far as the importance of foundations?
Please do.
Again, the Word of God has many passages that talk about the importance of foundations. I could go through over 20 of them. But let me just cite one before jumping into a more of an experiential appeal.
Oh, okay.
Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we have in our Christian worldview no foundation to appeal to, what are we left with? Our opinions? Well, that can go in any direction.
We can talk ourselves into anything.
We can talk ourselves into it. And the Word of God, because it acknowledges that this is a prerequisite topic to everything under the sun, including the definition of God, the issues of history, and everything down across the board, it acknowledges this by addressing this very topic of how do we know what we know and how key the Word of God is in this process. Well, we have the Word of God, declared statements, Psalm 19, acknowledging the natural revelation of God, but we also have the supernatural revelation of God seen within that very psalm. But we also have experience. So here's an experience that I had relating to putting our house down in Idaho. And it's a tie to a foundation story. So can I tell a personal story?
Of course, always.
It's anecdotal, but it's
okay.
One. We had already put up our pole barn, and I'll tell a story about the pole barn next week. But we had already put up our pole barn, and so we were getting the foundation area ready to go. The contractor had done all the forming, and the concrete trucks were due in the next week. And Bruce, the contractor, came up to me on, I think it was Friday, and said, John, I have a problem. And I said, Bruce, what's the concern? He said, well, I can't pour next week. I said, well, we got to pour because the foundation has to set before the house gets put down. What's the problem? He said, well, I've been doing last-minute inspection, and there are soft spots all throughout the foundation. And that struck my curiosity. So I started digging, and I found all this debris, and I think I know what happened. And I said, Bruce, tell me what happened. He said, well, your excavator that was supposed to scrape all the stumps, the rotting stumps, the debris, the downed branches, the shrubs, etc. He put dirt over all of this instead of scraping it. So I have this anywhere from 12 to 18 inches of just mush.
Mm.
That if I put the concrete down, it's not that we'll have the typical cracks that a manufactured home typically has over the years, the first few years. You're not going to have a house in 5 to 10 years. It's going to be that much of a difference. This is huge as to the part of the foundation prep that we have to work with. So he ended up digging everything out, and we had to delay the concrete pour. But we did it in time, and everything was okay. But it illustrates the importance, the essential foundation importance. If you have a wrong foundation, you're toast. If you have a wrong foundation as far as end times, or anything under the sun for that matter, if you're believing something because of a poor foundation, you might be in trouble. Jesus mentioned this when he says in Matthew chapter 7, those who are wise listen and do what I say are those likened unto those who build upon the rock.
To a
non-firm foundation. When the storms come, that house comes down because it's not built on the rock. Huge, huge topic.
Yeah. Do you have any suggested applications in light of all this for our audience? I want them to go away with hope, you know, and I know that your heart is always to bring the hope of Jesus Christ. So,
okay. Yes, in light of truth foundations being essential and prerequisite to a correct view of our days, that is, the view of the end times, it's important to have a foundation. So we do, and here's our suggestion. By the way, we're encouraging our students, our college students, to read through the New Testament this term with an emphasis on application, where we started with the book of Luke at the beginning of the year. And there were three times when responses to John the Baptist jumped out, where they asked different members of the audience, asked him, what do you suggest we do, kind of thing. And I actually took and ran with that as far as preparation for this presentation. Yes, in light of the Word of God, what should we do? Well, here are some suggestions that we would offer by way of applications. Go to enduranceministries.org and read the stories that are posted there.
They're excellent, folks.
They speak to biblical themes that unfold in the days shortly to come. Go to endmin.org, which is another site, and read the Truth Matters articles, which address current affairs that are tied to end time themes that continue to jump out as we read end time passages. And also go to endmin.com and read the frequently asked questions, because these questions come in from people abroad, and we post them, our answers to them, important questions. But you know what? Most importantly, I would strongly encourage a revival through a renewed interest in the study of end times, one that allows the Bible to speak for itself.
There's nothing better than the Word of God.
Amen. That's huge.
You know, John, I can't thank you enough for traveling so far to share with our audience. It is always, always such a pleasure to have you here. And I'm always amazed, and I always do a lot of research and reading, and there's parts of me that wants to go, oh, dear Lord. And then there's other parts of me that know the end of the story, know that we are to endure, run this race well, keep the word. You know, it is inerrant. And I try to get the audience, listeners, to know how much I base my life on the Word of God and the Word of God only. And I thank you for sharing all the information on how to get a hold of you. But I also know that people can get a hold of your book by going to, if I'm not mistaken, truthfoundations.com, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think there's a link there, but it is on therapturegathering.com.
Oh, good. Therapturegathering.com. You need to go there if you're interested in his book. And it is one because a good read, opens your eyes, lets you hear the other sides, lets you hear yet another opportunity. And again, if you have any questions or comments, he'd be glad to receive your email requests at johnswanson@msn.com. But I'm going to spell that out because it's johnswanson@msn.com. Or you can also get him at emfielddirector@gmail.com. You know, I hope everyone goes away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father. And I pray that you will be encouraged this year through God's Word to endure in your faith and finish this race well. And as always, in His service, this is Reverend Leslie and my special guest, friend, and co-laborer, Dr. John Swanson. Thank you.
Thank you.